welcome to We Are History. I'm Angela Barnes.
And I'm John O'Farrell.
Today, we are talking about a certain Mr. Christopher Columbus.
Ah, yes. This was my choice, wasn't it?
It was your choice.
Yes. Well, I am in America at the moment, even though it seems
like... Oh, really,
like
John? You never mention it.
I want to wake up in a city that goes to sleep about 10:30. Yeah, I've been in America for a few months, and I got here the day before Columbus Day. Or Native Americans Day, depending on who you talk to.
Yes.
So I thought it would be interesting to look at the myth and the reality of the man who was credited with discovering this whole continent. My research on this is based on reading Columbus, the First Four Voyages by Lawrence Burgreen, and, of course, watching Carry On Columbus, which I think
On Columbus was the later one, was it? Like
it was
in the
90s,
with Julian Clary. I watched that at the cinema.
It was terrible, apparently. I never saw it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was really bad.
Was it? I'm not going to try and cover all four voyages that Columbus did. That's a lot of reading, frankly. No, just the first one in which...
Oh, spoiler alert, John.
Yes.
He sails to, is it America?
America.
And he discovers, is it America? America, inverted commas, discovered.
Yes. So, Angela, I know you take the piss. I take the piss out of you for going back a long way, but I'm going to go back 15,000 years.
Oh, I see. It's all right when you do it.
The earliest evidence of humans in the Americas. Because, of course, there were humans in America when he got here.
How did they get there, John?
Well,
they crossed from the land bridge, Bering Straits.
Well, yes, but if they'd done that, you see, this book I read, I always presumed that they must have just walked across the Bering Straits. But the book I read said that if they'd done that, they would have just faced thousands of miles of pack ice and they wouldn't have been able to survive on that. So the theory in this book was that they probably crossed by boats following the coast all the way round. They called it the Kelp Highway.
Not quite as posh as the Silk Road, is it?
It's not, is it? No.
Bring back spices? No, just some seaweed.
I've got kelp for you. I mean, it's worth it for the kelp. No, back then the coast stretched all the way from Sumatra to South America.
Wow.
And there's evidence of humans going back 15,000 years, but in terms of, you know, direct evidence, skulls and things, but it gets less verifiable the further back you go. There's things like crushed mammoth skulls, which might have been done by hunting parties. They don't know.
They could have just been a lot of mammoths falling over.
But in a certain way. There's abandoned McDonald's cartons, those sort of things.
So over thousands of years, humans have colonised the whole continent, doing their best to avoid Detroit.
Of course. And thousands of languages and cultures, which evolved and, of course, very thoroughly explored and sensitively portrayed in various cowboy movies. Native Americans... they did, of course, have their own wars and conquests and battles, and they weren't all the hippie peace pipe smoking pacifists, you know, until the Europeans turned up.
So the Vikings' early expeditions to North America, they are now accepted as historical fact by most scholars, right?
Yes, indeed.
And around the year 1000 AD, you had the Viking explorer Leif Erikson, which does sound like a make of mobile phone. It just does. Leif Erikson. But he was the son of Eric the Red.
Oh, he's and a nightmare, nightmare at meetings.
He sailed to a place called Vinland in what is now, John, what is it?
Oh, is it Newfoundland?
It's Newfoundland.
Do you have any connection with Newfoundland, Angela?
A little bit.
Do you have a tattoo of Newfoundland on your leg?
I have a tattoo of Newfoundland on my ankle. In fact, I am sitting in my living room right now opposite a massive poster of Newfoundland.
Oh, fantastic. I'm going to go there one day. We should do a podcast from there. That would be something.
Let's do it.
Apart from Columbus and Eric the Red, was there also a Celtic discovery? There's a legend that St. Brendan, the Irish monk, discovered America in the 6th century.
Is that right? Or is that something you've read in your Asterix magazine?
No, Asterix and the Great Crossing is another possible theory. But no, there is a document which they know whether it's fiction or fact. All I'll say is there's three Irish pubs in the Manhattan street where I'm staying. So that's good enough evidence for me.
Yeah, weirdly, everyone in Europe seemed to just sort of forget about the Vikings, didn't they?
Yeah.
Very careless, really.
Yes, it was. You'd think, you will remember to tell the Pope we discovered a new continent, won't you? Yeah. I've written it down. I definitely won't forget.
So we're looking at nearly 500 years later.
Yeah.
And people gazing out over the Atlantic Ocean and wondered what could be out there.
Yeah.
Was the Earth flat, John? Was it round? Could you just sail off the edge at the horizon?
Was it like the Truman Show, the staircase, door at the end?
In fact, anyone with any education pretty much understood the Earth to be round at that time, right? I mean, I know now they're starting to wonder.
I know. There are people on Facebook. There's people marching into Trafalgar Square at the moment, probably. No masks and the Earth is flat. Yeah, Aristophanes, I think, proved it in 250 BC that the Earth was round with stakes in the ground and distance between them and things.
Right. Ordinary sailors who weren't highly educated were particularly keen to sail out to the horizon and have a look. Okay, I will take your word for it that it's round, but I'll tell you what, you go over there and sail across the horizon and have a look for yourself.
So Columbus had done calculations of his own based on the reading he'd done, and he believed the world to be round, but he thought the world was about a third smaller than it really is.
What an idiot.
Idiot, honestly. So his was not the first voyage to head out west. We don't really hear much about these. There are other voyages that set out from Portugal and Spain that just completely disappeared and nothing was ever heard of them again. Probably sank in a storm or got becalmed and ate each other.
Or probably just discovered, you know, the coast of Cuba. Thought, oh, that's nice. We'll just stay here and keep quiet about it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe. But no one knew what was out there. Occasionally, weird objects would be washed up with carvings that no one recognised. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. What could that be then? 2 years before Columbus was born was the fall of Constantinople, which is a big deal, in 1453. Yes.
So Silk Road, closed for essential engineering works.
Exactly. Access to eastern trade routes, all shut off. Yeah.
So no more spices to flavour your dodgy meat, no more kebabs after the pubs are closed.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. That route cut off.
Yeah.
Luckily, John, what we wouldn't be stupid enough to do now in the 21st century here is cut off some really useful trading routes, is it?
No, you'd never do that. We've never talked about that on this podcast.
We wouldn't be that silly.
Yeah. In fact, the Americas would, of course, bring completely different foods that no one could imagine back then. Cinnamon donuts, Dr. Pepper, that sort of thing. But anyway, Christopher Columbus. 2 years before the fall of Constantinople, Christopher had been born in Genoa, which back then was its own place, a city-state, even though the Italian-Americans are very proud of Christopher Columbus.
It wasn't technically Italy.
No.
So prior to 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, that's the rhyme, isn't it?
Yeah. That is, yeah.
Exploration, like you said, had all been eastwards.
Yeah.
And overland, like Marco Polo, or by sea, like, now I never say his name right, Vasco da Gama?
Just say Gama.
Gama. Yeah. So English. But Columbus, he thought there might be another route to the Indies going west.
Go west, he sang. He was very experienced in sailing up and down the Atlantic coast. Although he was from Genoa, he worked at sea and sailed from Galway, possibly to Iceland, to modern-day Ghana and West Africa. He had a great experience of the Atlantic and its winds and its currents. He sailed in Lisbon in Portugal, where he settled and married. Always a foreigner there, but had this theory about, you know, the other route to the Indies. And he tried to get funding for this expedition from the Portuguese king.
But like some sort of Renaissance dragon's den.
Yes, exactly right.
It's all this money and startup funding, but also to have a big slice of all the riches that would be coming their way.
Yes, that's right. He wanted to be called Admiral of the Ocean Sea, and there's a bit of haggling, and it's like, what if you're just Admiral of a bit of the ocean? It seems like he was pretty greedy, actually, reading about him. He was turned down.
The more I've read about him, the more he seems like quite an arrogant man. Yeah. I suppose you've got to be quite arrogant to go, I'm just going to sail this way because I'm pretty sure that there's Asia's over there and I'm going to go and find it.
Yeah, so eventually the King of Portugal turned him down, but not without the king's advisors. They quizzed this foreigner endlessly about his crazy theory and all his evidence and his plan. And then they promptly copied that. And they sent the ship, without telling him, they sent a ship out. And the ship had a terrible time. It came back with ripped sails and a broken mast. And its captain, adamant that it was impossible to sail across that sort of vast emptiness of the Atlantic.
Sort of demoralised Columbus, but you think also you might go, well, I dodged a bullet there. That could have been me in that ripped up boat that didn't. But no, he always felt like an outsider in Portugal. So at that point, he starts going around Europe asking various different monarchs for money for his
dragon's den in different countries. So his brother went to see Henry VII in England. Imagine if Henry VII had said yes. That would have changed the issue.
Yeah, so everyone in South America would be speaking with English accents.
Yeah, Brazil would beat us at cricket. So imagine Henry VII was effectively the man who turned down the Beatles because he said no to Columbus Jr. And then he went around all over the place. Finally.
He goes to Spain, where the king and queen, Ferdinand and Isabella, who are the, it's Ferdinand of Aragon and Isabella of Castile, or the other
way? I think that's right, either way. But anyway, I think they're married by now.
Yeah, yeah, they joined those two kingdoms, didn't they?
Yeah,
those two.
Yeah.
And they said yes to him.
Yes. Yes. They just pushed Muslims out of Spain. They were on a bit of a roll. And this empire, this sounds good.
Yeah. Got rid of the Muslims. Let's go and colonise somewhere else.
Let's go and murder loads of people from what we think is Asia. So there's a complication here. There's a peace treaty between Portugal and Spain, which said that Spain could not explore south of the Canaries.
Right.
But, of course, no one knew anything about the other side of the ocean. But this would be a tricky sort of bit of detail later on.
I suppose it's technically south of the Canaries all the way round.
Well, yeah, everything south, you know, all of South America is south of the Canaries. But anyway, so they, agreed to part fund this, and he got investors as well. And they sailed off in three ships. They were getting them ready in the summer of 1492. The Santa Maria. And my Spanish is a little rusty. I don't know.
Well, what could that mean? Santa Maria.
Well, I'm gonna guess St. Mary, but we might need someone to back it up. The other one was Nina. There was a second boat called Nina after Nina Simone. And and then the third boat was called Pinter.
Pinter?
Pinter. His dad was a milkman, I think. So that was probably it.
Or was it Pinter? And Pinter. He just had really long pauses.
That's right. Incredible how small these boats were.
This blew my mind when I read this, because the biggest of those three ships was 70 foot. That's not that big, is it?
That is a big narrow boat. That is the
how
longest.
How big is your narrow boat?
My boat is 50 foot. My narrow boat is 50
wow.
foot. And me and Jackie on that is a bit cramped, if I'm honest. So an entire crew on a 70 foot boat. That was the biggest. The other two were 50 feet. So the average narrow boat you see when you're walking along the canal with a dog, and seeing those sort of hippies with the smoke coming out of the chimneys, those are about 50 foot. Imagine sailing with a whole crew over the Atlantic in something that length.
20 foot longer. My God.
Yeah.
Do you just think of it as being like a big galleon or something?
Yeah, in my head.
That's how I pictured Columbus.
I mean, I think they had sort of various decks, you know, they were sort of went higher, and they had keels, of course, which my narrowboat doesn't. But it's not like a cruise ship crossing the Atlantic. That's all I'm going to say. No deck chairs overlooking the fun pool. No 70s one-hit wonders singing in the Neptune ballroom.
Oh, sorry, John. I went a bit cold then. I just had a flash forward to the tail end of my career.
Tonight, do you remember her? Do you remember from back in the 20s on Mock the Week? She's still going. It's Angela Barnes. Oh,
she's 87, but she's never got a pension. Here she is.
Oh, God. So 3rd of August, he set sail from Palos de la Frontera. That sounded good, didn't it, the way I said that?
Yeah, not bad, John. Spanish pronunciation is terrible. I never learned Spanish.
Yeah, he set sail from Palos de la Frontera. I'm doing it twice. And he stopped in the Canaries because, you know, Tenerife had cheap winter sun holidays. And then...
just booked a holiday to Fuerteventura, John.
Have you?
I'm just so excited then. So,
oh,
I did. Yeah. I just booked one. February, I'm going.
Oh, it'd be lovely. It'd be lovely.
Oh, it'd be lovely. Sorry.
And then he sailed off to who knows what.
Go further and further towards... nothing. It's quite scary, isn't it? Just like, come on, everyone, we're getting in this boat. We're going to go, oh, where are we going?
I know. That is because it could have been like, there could have been invisible reefs. There could have been whirlpools. They believed in sea monsters, you know. So they really didn't know. At least when, you know, Neil Armstrong went to the moon, they knew the moon was there. They knew how far away it was. Columbus and his crew knew nothing and were heading out towards, a mystery destination. Sailing on the other ships were the Pinzon brothers, Martin Pinzon and his brother. And there's a bit of a power struggle going on with Columbus and these guys because they were investors, part owners of the fleet and captains of the other boat. The crew were growing restless. Some days they were becalmed completely. He was trying to get into the trade winds, which is the southerly south winds that go sort of westwards and come back via the northern route that comes eastwards. But it took a long time.
It took 2 months.
Yeah.
Right. So... imagine the temptation and that to go, we're following this guy for 2 months. I think we should just go home.
Yeah.
At what
should
point? I suppose once you've been going for a month, you might as well keep going.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Yeah. And imagine how much you get on each other's nerves, Angela.
Oh, God. I can't in a long drive with someone else. And they had no means to measure the position they were in, right? They can measure... latitude, but not longitude. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can measure the going around one, but not the up and down one. So Columbus deliberately under-recorded the distance he travelled so that, you know, he didn't want the crew realising how far from home they were or having grown restless.
So he would say they'd done fewer miles than they had every day.
Yeah, wow. He'd say, oh, we've only done 10 miles when they'd done 20, you know. Because if they, you know, if they didn't find anything for 1,000 miles, he didn't want them to go, come on, we've got to go back now.
Right, yeah, yeah. And he kept a journal of all this, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which I guess is it. Well, it's a useful historical document till you remember how arrogant and self-aggrandizing yes. Christopher Columbus was. So yeah. he might have to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, right?
Yes, yes. But anyway, after yeah. 2 months, on October the 11th, Santa Maria took in more water than at any point on the journey. Because they're not just sailing along. They're, these ships are small and they're in the Atlantic and they're struggling. And there's the ship worm, which is, you know, woodworm, which gets into the things. And water's coming in. The crew were close to mutiny. They were convinced they were sailing to their death. But he spotted flocks of birds, which suggested that land might be nearby, and floating green reeds. And this was more encouragement. And at that night, that night, Columbus swore he saw a light.
And then,
in the distance. But
at that point, you'd be going like, "That's a star, mate. Can we go home?"
You would be, because the, you know, we do know that, you know, it wasn't very built up at the time. So,
yeah,
but next
exactly.
day, the next day, Rodrigo de Triana, that's a sailor on the on one of the boats, shouted, "Land, land!" He said,
yeah.
and he said it in
and
Spanish.
He said it in Spanish, right?
So I was guessing, "Terra, Terra." He might be calling his mate Terry. I don't know, but anyway, he shouted, "Land!" and. That might be a good place to take a break, Angela.
Yeah, and after the break, you will find out if Columbus had found a western route to Asia or not. Maybe it was something else entirely, John. Stay with us. Hello and welcome back. I hope you had a nice little intermission. Now, because this podcast is about the discovery of America. Really, by rights, John, we should be having these intermissions and commercial breaks about every 5 minutes.
20 commercial breaks. Yeah, exactly. Do you suffer from piles? Try Rexasol.
Oh, God.
Side effects include dizziness, nausea and death.
You've been watching a lot of telly, John.
Yeah, the adverts over here, I tell you, the voiceovers, they go so fast and the disclaimer goes on for about 20 minutes after every... They have loads of drugs they advertise. It's insane.
That's we what blew that. My mind was the amount of prescription drugs that are advertised on TV.
Yeah, crazy.
Madness. Anyway.
Where were we?
I think where were we, John? So a little recap. We had Rodrigo the sailor had shouted, "Terra, terra," or land.
Yes, terra, terra.
So there'd been a prize, right, for the first person...
Yeah.
Spot land, isn't that
oh,
right?
Oh, so did Rodrigo
get it?
They were
going to get a reward.
Yeah. Big
well,
cash money.
Well, obviously Rodrigo got it, right? Because he spotted land first, so surely he gets the reward.
Or did the Admiral of the Ocean Sea, as he called himself, claim he'd seen a light the night before? Grab all the money for himself. I think that tells us a lot about the type of bloke.
Yeah, we're learning a lot about this.
Yeah. So the island where they are thought to have landed is San Salvador in the Bahamas.
They're not entirely sure, are they? They're still
not
to this day entirely convinced that's where they landed, but that's the most likely.
Yeah.
So when they landed, they met some native people who Christopher Columbus described as primitive and naked and not like the sophisticated Chinese civilization that Marco Polo had described, because he thought, John, he was bumping into Chinese people.
I know. Distinct absence of Chinese food, cheap mass-produced electrical goods. Very disappointed. So he gave some trinkets, lots of hawk's bells, weirdly. He keeps giving out these little dingly hawk's bells. Natives.
Hawks, not like bells that you attach to a hawk?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know quite what the deal is with that. But anyway, that would
kept cropping
up. What
they were supposed to do with them. I suppose they were naked, just tied to their bits.
Well, Angela, I don't want to picture that, but maybe that's what the idea was. These were the Taino Indians, T-A-I-N-O, and they were very peaceful and friendly, very fearful of the warlike Caribs, who they said took them as slaves.
Took them as slaves, you say?
Interesting thought. Let me just write that down,
that
would
planted
you?
Planted a little idea in someone's head.
So, yeah, lots of hand gestures and miming. Now, this bit really made me laugh. He'd actually taken a linguist with him, Columbus, who spoke Arabic and Hebrew.
On the voyage.
And Farsi and all these things. He goes, wait, linguist, come here, what are they saying? It's like, I don't know, I can't understand them.
Arabic.
You are a complete waste of space, mate. I thought you spoke all these languages. And he's like, I can't understand what you spoke Asian. I spoke eventually, this bloke just went, okay, the Indians say you can just take whatever you want, all right? You can have the whole continent if you want.
just say that they're saying whatever Christopher Columbus wants them to say.
That's excellent translating. I'm glad I brought you.
It reminds me of that guy, do you remember, was it Nelson Mandela with the sign language interpreter?
Oh, God,
he's just completely winging it.
Yeah, he's just waving his fingers around saying, can we order the bill, please? Yes.
Terrible. So Columbus wrote in his journal, he wrote that The people were very simple and could be easily conquered with just 50 men. Oh, what a lovely way to think about the place you're visiting, isn't it? He noticed that they had like small amounts of gold in the jewellery that they wore. Yes. So that probably piqued his interest a bit.
Yes. Yes, I think he was he was much more interested in the gold and the potatoes, let's be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he saw a local setting a fire to a leaf and inhaling it. Bit weird. Huh, he thought, what's going on
that? Why would you do that?
But he wrote in his journal that, you know, of the many islands and the fine harbours, and basically bigged up his discovery of this part of Asia.
He sailed then to Cuba.
Yep.
And he decided that that must be the Asian landmass.
Yes.
Or maybe even Japan.
Could be.
Anyway, it was all the Indies. Yep. Whatever you like. It was all the Indies. And he called the natives Indians, which, John, they have been delighted about ever since.
Yes, indeed. He was a he was a deeply religious man, Columbus, and he thought, you know, that he was on a, considered himself to be on a divine mission. And every time he landed, he built a large wooden cross, you know, and named all these places after saints and feast days.
So he believed it was God who'd led him there, protect his men, because not one of them had died on the voyage over, which in itself is a bit of a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. All sailing around these islands.
They were safe sailing around these islands for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. But then the sort of expedition took a bit of a weird turn a month later. On November the 22nd, Martin Pinzon, remember the Pinzon brothers?
One of the two brothers.
Yeah, he sailed off in Pinto to the fury of Columbus. He just naffed off. And they think Pinzon had heard about a great source of gold and he wanted it all for himself. So this was a bit tricky because Columbus couldn't just punish him. He was a co-owner of the fleet.
He's one of the investors.
Yeah. But suddenly they're down to two ships.
I sort of on side of Martin Pinzon a bit there, aren't you? You're like, you put up with this idiot for however many months. Yeah, go and get the gold. Go on. Good on you.
So Columbus, he sails on.
Yeah, goes to the eastern end of Cuba and starts to realise it might not be a whole continent, John.
Yes, okay.
It might not be a whole continent that he thought it was, the whole Asian landmass that he thought it was. But he said, we'll just part that for now.
Okay.
Because these are all definitely, they're definitely still islands off the Indies.
Yeah.
Just off the coast of maybe India or China or Japan. I mean, don't want to get too specific just yet, John.
Yeah, so he sailed on and he found an island which he named Hispaniola. The island's still called that to this day, but it's modern-day Haiti. And he landed there on December the 5th. And he continued to explore the coast and, you know, look for gold and kept encountering natives and give them hawk's bells, because that's what you always want. And then on Christmas Day, the man doing the night watch while they were sailing, he let the cabin boy take the tiller whilst he had a little sleep. Not a good plan, Angela.
Never a good idea, is it? Put the work experience lad in charge.
Santa Maria runs aground and was effectively wrecked on Christmas Day.
Apart from that, though, it's a lovely Christmas.
The old presents. Turkey. Actually, maybe they did have them. Maybe it's the first time anyone had turkey. We're in the Americas now. But no, that's not recorded. Yeah. The point was, this was a bit of a problem. They're down to one ship now. How are we going to get back to Spain on this bloody glory?
I mean, they were pretty cramped on three ships, right?
Yeah, I mean, so two of them are going to have to fit onto one ship. You know, this glorified narrowboat that I've been describing. So Columbus comes up with a plan. We will use the wood from our wrecked ship to build a fort here.
On the island.
Anyone who wants to stay here, we'll wait here and we'll come back for you in a year or so.
Oh, right. Okay. So you wait here in this wooden fort in this place you don't know.
Yeah.
We'll knit back to Spain and honestly, I promise, we'll come back and get
you. What's the worst that can happen?
As soon as we can.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
Right. Translator, you're definitely staying here. You understand?
You were useless.
You were a bloody disappointment, you were, bringing you all the way here. You don't speak a word of Chinese, Japanese, India, whatever it is. fort he named La Navidad, the Nativity, after the day they were shipwrecked. He decided this was God's, you
what
know,
a Christmas.
I know.
What a Christmas.
He ruined it.
Brussels sprouts don't seem so bad now, do they?
No. So he named it after that, and he decided it was his destiny and God's decision to make this happen. But he left 39 men in this fort, all the annoying ones.
So all the annoying ones, with just a bloke who chewed his food too loudly.
You're staying.
You can stay. Yeah. Bloke who tells the same story over and over again.
Yeah, you hang on here, mate. Yeah. He left
that
them
woman who keeps banging on about Newfoundland.
She'd definitely stay. So he left them all behind and he sailed along the coast of Haiti and Nina. And then in January, he sees Pinta in the distance.
Right. Not Harold.
No, just Pinta the ship. All a bit awkward.
Yeah. He bumps into old Martin Pinzon on the ship that he nicked.
Yeah.
And Columbus doesn't trust him not to take all the credit when they get back to Spain, right? So he's determined he's going to keep close watch on him this time and not let him sail back to Spain all on his own.
Yeah, because he's learned he can't trust him. He's thinking, what if he disappears again? He'll get back to Spain and say it was all him. and Olga turn up, yeah, and he would have spun some stories. So part of him wanted to get back to Spain to make sure he got all the credit. But on the other hand, the Indians, inverted commas, had promised to bring Columbus a life-size statue of him made of solid gold. Now,
oh, I don't suppose Christopher Columbus was into that at all.
No, well, given that he was...
Oh, no, please don't. No, oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Given
please,
that he was a bit vain and a bit greedy, I think they sort of found a sweet spot with that one.
Oh, you could be right, John.
And he kept hanging on and going, should we wait for this statue of solid gold of me, maybe? And everyone's going,
yeah,
Chris,
I know you
all
want to get back, but...
It's not coming, mate. It's not coming. Forget about it. I just thought we could wait a bit longer for the life-size statue of solid gold.
Hello, I'm Ros Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fearn, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, 30th of January, they made their last stop, and that was the only time they had any hostile natives. They encountered the Siguayos, and they were the only ones who offered violent resistance. They refused to trade, inverted commas, their carefully crafted bows and arrows for a few beads.
How unreasonable.
I know, it's a bit
rude.
How
unreasonable, John. We've got these weapons that we use to defend our communities and we won't give them to you for some what? Some
beads and hawks bells.
Oh,
yeah.
So, terrible, unreasonable people.
Bit of a fight. One of them was stabbed in the buttock with an arrow and they all fled, and that's why it's called the Bay of Arrows.
It's called the Bum of Arrows.
not the Bay of Buttocks, the Bay of Arrows. It's still called that, apparently. Yeah. Columbus sails back, mm-hmm, but he gets to the Azores, and he's imprisoned there as a pirate. No one believes this bloody story. They go, yeah, right, sorry, run the story.
It does sound a little bit...
yeah,
right.
Run your story by me again. Look, I've got natives. He actually took some natives with him to show that he'd been to this new world.
I like how, and everything I've read, that's just such a... Oh, yeah, he has some natives.
I know.
Oh, he's kidnapped some people from their home and brought them as slaves.
Imagine what it must have been like for them when they got to Portugal. When they got to Portugal and Spain, it must have been insane,
just
wasn't it?
Talk about as if it, you know, yeah, oh, he brought back gold and yeah, other treasures. Oh, and some human beings.
Yeah, he was forced to land at Lisbon because of a storm, and then the king said his voyage had broken the Treaty of Alcagovas, which was what I was talking about, and so it all should be Portuguese. Everything should be Portuguese. So there was
yes,
a lot.
Because he went south of the Canary.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going, oh, yeah, well, it's a bit south, it's a bit west. It's hard to say. Yeah. But he finally got back to Spain, March 1493, with the natives, and news of his discovery amazed all of them.
Yeah, and they initially just accepted what he'd said, that he discovered a new route to Asia, because they've got no way of knowing that's not where he's been. So, yeah, it's just accepted. Oh, he's found a route west to Asia.
Yeah. He did do three subsequent voyages. We're not going to go into detail about those today. But on the first one, he did go back to Fort Navidad, expecting it to be a thriving colony piled up with all the gold they found.
With the 39 people he'd left behind.
Yeah, but he found, unfortunately, an abandoned ruin with all the crew murdered and their remains dotted all about the place.
Jesus,
a bit disappointing. Yeah, he set up a colony in Haiti where he was a very brutal governor. He tended to be a very cruel ruler.
You surprised me, John. I thought he'd be very reasonable and not at all megalomaniacal.
Oh, well done.
I know. I struggled a bit, but
no, you got
I got there in the end.
Good emphasis.
Megalomaniacal.
Yeah, he a third or more of the natives of Haiti were dead within the first 2 years of his governorship. Probably more than from viruses and violence, though many were enslaved and worked to death. He'd go on to land on the South American mainland and modern Central America, which, of course, all speaks Spanish today because of him, because of an enormous impact on the world. He never found the Great Khan, the ruler he'd sought, as described by Marco Polo. He never found those vast
and
amounts.
Columbus believed, didn't he, till the day that he died, that he discovered this new route to Asia.
Yes.
Because even though there's so much evidence to the contrary, but what he actually discovered from that Eurocentric point of view, something far more significant, a whole new continent. Imagine how arrogant he would have been if he'd realised that.
I know. And with all the possibilities that provided for Europeans to show their best side, Angela.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, God. Develop all those friendly relations with the locals. And generally just be nice and respectful of human rights and the environment forever.
I think that's pretty much what happened. But his voyage did change the shape of the world. It's a big deal. It shifted the balance of power and trade away from the Mediterranean and towards the Atlantic-facing countries. Britain was no longer on the edge of the world, but well placed to start exploiting these new lands themselves. It should be said, of course, his arrival in America was an utter disaster for the people who'd actually discovered America 15,000 years earlier. The indigenous population, they reckoned, of the Americas overall, is thought to have been reduced by about 90% in the century after Columbus's arrival.
So shocking, isn't it? And we're not taught that, are we?
No, we're not.
Like at school, taught about Christopher Columbus. You're not.
This brave just, man standing on a beach.
The natives
with his,
are just ignored that 90% of the population were...
just wiped out by illness and stuff. Yeah. Despite the fact he never landed on modern day USA, he got very close to Florida, but he never landed on modern day USA. But his discovery was sort of bigged up in the United States after their independence to give themselves a foundation myth separate from the English.
Yeah, they needed that, didn't they? They needed to have their own sort of narrative about that. Yeah, they named the district of their capital after him, obviously. Yeah. Couple of state capitals. And if you think about it, if Columbus had accepted that he'd discovered a new continent rather than Asia, maybe it would now be called the United States of Columbia.
I'd be in the USC. Continent was, of course, named after Amerigo Vespucci. So who went on
16th century, wasn't he? He went on
I think he mapped it and stuff. Columbus now, of course, a much more questionable figure than the one perhaps I was taught as a child. In fact, when I was researching this, I went down to a bookstore in Fifth Avenue, Barnes & Noble, big, big bookshop. I went through, they've got a massive history section, not a single book on Columbus, which I thought was significant.
Wow.
I asked, I said, have you got a book on these books? She goes, I know, they've got loads of books about Native Americans and books about the Civil War, but nothing on him. There's a big statue of Christopher Columbus here in New York City, surrounded by temporary fencing in case anyone tries to rip it down. But honestly, you precipitate one continental genocide and suddenly the politically incorrect brigade are trying to say you're not an international hero.
Oh, John.
So that's Christopher Columbus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big deal.
There you go. He's a big deal in that he, you know, changed the course of history. But
He did.
Sort of might have been better if he hadn't.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Somebody would have found it by now.
For some people, it would have been better if he hadn't.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it.
That's my reading this week, Angela. Next week, you'll be doing something a bit more fluffy, I hope, Angela.
Maybe the history
of flower pressing, maybe, or
something like that, John. We're coming back to the 20th century for next week.
All right. Well, look, thanks for listening,
I'll
everyone.
You with that.
Give us 5 stars, as we always ask.
Yes, please do. And do follow us on Twitter at We Are History Pod. John has been locked out of our Twitter for ages, in case you're wondering why he wasn't tweeting
on
there.
The wrong password.
Because we've got our password wrong.
I've put him right,
and he's back in there now.
I'm 82.
So, at We Are History Pod, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone. Bye, thanks.